Oh, hi. Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How's it going?
It's fine.
So,
this guy next to me on the bus, like, insisted, there were plenty of seats, but insisted on making me move so he could sit directly next to me, and he had a wooden back scratcher attached to his shorts that just kept hitting me the whole time.
That's really weird.
Yeah. And then he was, like, viciously rumbling through papers.
Also, I think that there is a special place in hell for people on the subway. You know how there's, like, the two seats and the three seats?
Mm-hmm.
People that sit in the middle of the three seats?
Mm-hmm.
Straight to hell.
Yeah, I love, though, to go next to, like, people that are manspreading and just sit there. And, like, just make them move over. I have no problem saying, excuse me. And sometimes I even say it for other people. I say, can we scoot down so this elderly woman can sit? I don't usually say that, but
you're a real, like, social justice warrior when it comes to the subways and buses.
I'm a subway shit starter.
Yeah. So we're here today to discuss Hop, Skip, and a Week. But
nice try, guys.
They say it like two times though.
I know, but like it didn't work, but okay.
I'll tell Amy you said so. So Hop, Skip, and a Week originally aired July 27th, 2003. It was directed by Michael Engler and written by Amy B. Harris. And our DVD recap is as follows. Carrie gets tapped for jury duty, and she finds herself unable to talk her way out of performing her civic obligation. Charlotte's major problem is that she has too many dates. Samantha, as usual, doesn't seem to be having any problems at all. Her guidance of Smith's career is going swimmingly. Miranda's career puts more and more demands on her time, and Brady begins to see Magda as his mother figure, since his real mother is never home.
That's a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
Well, it starts with, in NYC, where no good thing starts before 9 p.m., it's no good sign when you get something
that starts at 9 a.m.
Jury duty.
Jury duty, which I had this past year. And everyone was like, oh, you're like Carrie. And I'm like, I'm not there yet. And that's true. You actually have to, I don't know, I can't remember if I had to be there at 9 or like 8:30, but I think it was 9.
Something like that. I think it's 9.
Yeah, and I've done it a couple of times. This year I was put on a trial.
Yeah, you actually did the whole thing? Yeah, you went through the whole process.
Yeah, I mean, they eventually settled, but yeah, I was there for the whole week. I mean, that's not a ton, but a week.
I've been called for jury duty twice, I believe. Which isn't that many times for how long I lived in New York.
Right.
And I've never gotten as far as a trial.
Mm.
So I've had it easy both times.
Yeah, so Carrie and Berger are there. She is getting dropped off at jury duty. And he says he's going to spend some time getting some computer shit at J&R, which is like a computer electronic store.
Yeah, well, it sort of starts off with, you know, how are you going to get out of this?
Yeah.
She's just going to explain that before 10 a.m. everyone is guilty, which I kind of feel the same way. Yeah, he says he's going to go to the computer store, and she sort of casually says, I thought you were going to write today.
Yeah,
and
which I kind of was like, no, she just said, aren't you going to write?
Aren't you
going
to write today?
What does that mean?
So it makes it seem like it would have been different, I think, if she said, I thought you were going to write today, because that means like they had talked about it. But I feel like aren't you going to write just means like you're a writer. You should be spending all your time writing.
Yeah. And he immediately takes it as an accusation,
which I kind of thought it was. I'm actually on Berger's side in this one moment.
There are a couple of moments where it's unclear to me.
Yeah.
You know what we need right now?
And then he says Hollywood kiss.
Yeah. Which is a thing we've never heard of before.
No, but it's this thing they always do.
And it's just, I guess, a moment of kind of like being funny and having a little kiss, and it's dramatic and silly, and it is what it is.
I wouldn't be able to do that. I would fall.
Also, my jury duty was hot. That's not what I meant to write. My jury duty was not in a building like this. This looks like she's going into the public library.
Oh, okay. I mean, mine was in a courthouse, Queens courthouse, which is kind of similar looking.
Yeah, mine was not. Mine was in a Manhattan courthouse that looked like an office building. But so I wonder where they filmed this.
Well, it could be the Supreme Court building.
It could. Yeah, there are different buildings.
Because like in Queens, it's different because there's the Civil Court building, which looks a little less like that. And then there's like the Supreme Court building, but it happens to be right next door. And it's more like that.
So she tries to get herself excused as a freelance writer.
I work for myself as a freelance writer, and no one can cover for me.
Yeah, also, Carrie, you could write at jury duty.
Yeah,
like that,
that is
like
very true.
If you're a freelance writer, then just get out your notepad. I don't know if you were allowed to bring in a laptop then, because it wasn't until recently that you were even allowed to have like your cell phone at jury duty.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But she could write there. It's fine. And the woman just goes, welcome to jury duty.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So we get to Miranda getting ready for work.
Yeah.
And being super, super picky, the timing is weird only because it's like, you know, Magda arrives at 8:30.
Right.
So unless Carrie was really early for jury duty, we've gone back in time a few minutes, which is fine. That's me being very picky about, like, timing of the episode.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess everything may not be happening at the exact same time. And also, sometimes for jury duty, it'll say it starts at 9, you have to be there at 8:30.
Sure.
Oh, is it 8:30 already?
Good morning. Fuck. Don't say F.
I really like that moment.
I love it so much.
She's kind of like a, you know, whatever nationality it is version of Elise. Saying the F because she's a lady.
Yeah, don't say F.
And Brady just cries as Miranda leaves, and of course Miranda feels guilty.
Along with her coffee, feeling guilty had become a part of Miranda's daily routine.
So Charlotte is organizing cookies.
Yeah, she's joining the ladies at the synagogue. Then they go into a production of Matchmaker.
Yeah, Lenore comes over to help. For the record, all I wrote, Lenore is played by Doris Belek or Balak.
Okay.
And I only wrote that her IMDb profile picture is a still of her and Bea Arthur from Golden Girls.
Perfect.
It's not a headshot. It's a still.
She's like, what was the best part of my career? This. It should be the best part of anyone's career. Yeah. I don't care how famous you are, Meryl Streep. If you were on an episode of Golden Girls and you have a still photo with Bea Arthur.
That's what your profile pic should be for everything.
For everything. Yeah.
So yeah, she's a part of the Sisterhood Society and Lenore wants to match her up with a son. To which Barbara interjects that she has two sons.
Okay.
And then Elaine offers up her David.
Now, I know I make a lot of musical theater references on this podcast, but were you not in your brain like going, Hoddle, oh Hoddle, have I got a match for
yeah,
you?
It is very
he's
matchmaker.
He's handsome. He's young. All right, he's 62, but he's a good match, a nice match.
True?
True. See? Yeah, I finally got Mike.
And I only wrote about Elaine because this actress's name is Catherine Wolfe, and she played 5 different characters on Law & Order. I'm fascinated by people that play so many characters on Law & Order.
She's a character actress.
Yeah, she really is. So then we get to Times Square, and Smith is a billboard for Absolute.
Yeah, the Absolute poster, and those Absolute posters, are they still a thing? They were a thing for a minute. Was it you that used to have them all in your bedroom?
For sure not. I want to be very clear about that. No judgment, but that was not me.
There's someone I know, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm not judging you. I'm just wondering who it was that used to have all of the Absolute ads hung up in their bedroom.
The two things I think that got me the most about this moment in Times Square are that the TKTS booth is very different now. It's been remodeled, and there are, like, steps you can sit on. And the only other thing, I feel like they go out of their way to make sure you can't see that the Olive Garden is right there.
Oh, okay.
Because that Absolute sign would be literally right above the Olive Garden.
Oh, I thought it was facing the other way.
No, I think that we're looking uptown.
Okay, because I saw the Swatch store.
So maybe you're seeing the Swatch store when they're looking downtown?
Perhaps. I just remember seeing the Swatch store and thinking, I don't know how that's still in business. That was literally my whole thought process.
And I'm not sure what to do with most of this scene. I think it's kind of weird. And I don't really get how Samantha has this kind of power.
Right. To make him like an absolute model, make him have a huge. Yeah, I
and
don't
I
know.
You know, the trajectory of his character, which we're in the midst of, is just going very quickly, I suppose. Yeah. But that's fine.
That's Sex in the City.
So we cut to Diane Sawyer talking about jury duty.
And there is jury duty videos. Is this a real one?
This
it
is
could
a real
be.
One.
Okay,
I feel like my first jury duty video, I saw this.
Yeah, and all of them. And they play them way too quietly, so you can't even hear them, even if you wanted to. Because no one's talking, because it's not like you have a friend with you. You know what I mean? No one knows each other. They're all just sitting there quietly, and they're still quiet. And then sometimes they play movies as well. At least at Queens, they'll play like a movie for you to watch while you're waiting.
I don't know. I read all of Devil in the White City during my waiting during jury duty.
This past time, they played Jumanji, but the new one.
Oh, that's a disappointment.
Yeah, right?
Give me some Bonnie Hunt.
Yeah, so the jury duty video, and then she looks over, and the gentleman next to her has opened up his suitcase to reveal a mango.
Yeah, which is interesting, and, you know, a quirky storyline that I assume probably came from somewhere, but he just sort of cradles it.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything with it. And then it cuts to Carrie saying, that's not even a fruit you can bite into.
Yeah, Carrie and Burger are arriving at dinner and talking about the mango. And
I do believe it is the oddest thing you can pull out of a briefcase.
Just except for pineapple. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know which restaurant they're at.
I don't either.
I know
it probably doesn't exist anymore.
No,
let's be,
I mean,
let's
it's
be frank.
Yeah,
here.
It's one of those, like, again, clubby restaurants with the couchy.
That don't exist anymore.
The couchy booths. Mike and I got, like, a couch booth at a restaurant a few months ago, but we think it's because our friend was pregnant.
Yeah, and we were in Queens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Charlotte kind of crashes their dinner
out
of nowhere. It just happened to be at the same
restaurant.
Yeah,
it's like Charlotte just happens to be there, and no one seems that surprised by it.
Yeah.
I would feel it would be at least a more like, Charlotte, oh my God, what a coincidence, you know?
Maybe this is just the happening restaurant, and
yeah,
so they just were there at the same time. Yeah, Charlotte's on the worst date of her life. Mm-hmm. For the record, this guy is credited as average date.
Rude.
So, yeah, Charlotte.
Still not my most favorite credit of a character in this episode. We'll get
there. So Charlotte has so she's on the worst date of her life. They do the whole setup thing where Carrie's like, go back to your table, I'll call you. So we cut to Charlotte with an extravagantly garnished drink.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it's like, and what I wrote is, I think this was very much of that time.
Yeah.
And it was a very sushi samba thing,
mm-hmm.
which I only say because I remember working, I was at a restaurant called Josie's at the time, and it's where I met one of my best friends, Patrick, and he was the bartender there. And they were like sort of introducing all these new drinks and trying to figure out all these new garnishes. And one of my favorite things that Patrick has ever said was, I just heard him saying to a manager, I mean, either we're sushi samba or we're not. And so I always think of that when I see really extravagantly garnished drinks, because it was a very sushi, it was a very early to mid aughts, like, fancy beverage kind of thing.
Oh my gosh, totally. I remember taking beverage tests at restaurants, and the garnish, it was like, okay, I have all the alcohol down that's in it, but the garnish, it's like a banana peel yes. stuck to a cherry with an umbrella and like a surfboard.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Which drink gets the surfboard?
There's a lot of garnish going on. Yeah, Carrie does the something bad happened call, and then Charlotte is quickly at their table with large apple slices on the drinks. Which is a sort of a reoccurring theme of these really big apple slices.
It's just a lot. Or, I mean, they still do it with the Bloody Mary. Sometimes you'll see where it's like they've put a whole chicken as a garnish of the Bloody Mary.
I used to love this place out in Greenpoint that put like a lobster claw, like an entire lobster.
Yeah,
lobster
I see claw, it a lot where claw. They put like chicken wings on there. And I'm just wondering, do they just have a bunch of chicken wings made just for garnish?
I knew it was going to be terrible. The man brought me carnations.
Yeah, she just sort of starts talking about how the date started off bad with the carnations. And Berger kind of takes offense.
Yeah, he's like, and then we find out carnations are filler flowers, but Carrie says she likes
pink carnations.
Yeah, Carrie
says they're fine.
I would, however, throw away a guy for wearing docksiders or topsiders or any of the above. No, those are cute.
So basically, guys are just fucked.
And Berger kind of takes more offense. And it is sort of that thing of like, I don't feel like I could tell if he was being serious or not.
I just thought he was, I was over him now at this point. At this point now, I'm on Team Carrie again because I'm like, Berger, relax. Like, he's one of those guys who thinks they're really funny and can be, but just can't take any criticism. And it's not even criticism about him. Now it's like about the male population in general.
Yeah, Charlotte explains that none of these things would matter with the right guy. Which
right.
I don't know that I will ever date anyone that wears sandals, but I get what she's saying by that. That there are things that annoy me that sometimes in a certain person I'll be like, oh, for some reason it's charming when this person does it.
No one ever can wear sandals?
You can wear sandals in three occasions. If you're at the beach, if you're at a pool, or it's a quick errand.
I found out recently that Mike's mother exclusively wears sandals.
I'm only talking about men for the
but
record.
I wonder though, now we're digging deep, if that just like, you know, is something.
No, something about like a guy with his like sandals at a restaurant where I'm like, just put a shoe on. Like shoes are super easy to put on. They take almost no effort.
Yeah.
Take a little time. Have some pride.
So you're saying if that guy that you think is super hot that's currently on Euphoria, that I can't remember his name.
Eric Dane?
Yeah, if Eric Dane was like, Mike, you are the man for me, and then you look down and he had sandals on, you would say no?
I would say, you are married to the Noxzema girl. You're being very inappropriate right now. Also, put a shoe on. Yeah, she loved Harry in spite of all the negatives.
Right, because you didn't bring your filler flowers.
No.
because I loved him.
I don't know. Carrie takes offense on Charlotte's behalf and sort of admonishes Berger.
Of course you did, sweetie. Don't say that to her.
This is where it is still a little bit murky for me, that I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But Carrie feels a little bit harsh.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to be funny.
Well, it wasn't funny.
Yeah, it wasn't funny. I'm a slacker. I guess if I were wearing topsiders, I wouldn't be here.
I'm not sure it was her best play.
And I also think Berger's a little frustrated that Charlotte crashed their date.
Sure, that could be true.
You know.
And he takes even more offense, and this is just, like, getting tense now, and then the waiter shows up.
Yep, and Carrie orders a goat cheese salad, and goat cheese was very big then.
Yes.
And there still is goat cheese and things, but I feel like around this time, goat cheese was the star of the show.
Yeah, there's probably endive in that salad as well.
Endive. Depending on who you talk to.
Probably pine nuts,
some endive, a dried cranberry.
Something like that. That sounds about right. Or a sun-dried tomato. We could go in that direction as well.
People I hate were sun-dried
big
tomatoes.
Into the sun-dried tomatoes at the time.
And a raspberry vinaigrette.
Yeah, there you go. Carrie brings up a parsley allergy.
Her severe parsley allergy. This is the first time
I know
we have ever heard of Carrie's severe parsley allergy. Also, she makes a comment to say that later on that parsley is on everything. It's on everything.
It really is.
So
then
why haven't we heard you say it 100 times?
I don't know
times?
That we've ever heard her order food before.
We've heard her try to order Cosmo in a drive-thru.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have parsley on it.
Anyway, so
I understand what you're saying. And I
also, what she does is awful. Don't do this.
It is pretty obnoxious. The waiter goes to check to see if there's parsley on anything, and Berger just sort of mutters,
"You're not allergic."
What?
You're not allergic.
I don't like it.
I understand why people do this, because they hate it so much and they think, but also, just so you know, if you tell a waiter or a wait person that you have an allergy, your food's going to probably take a long time.
It for sure is going to take longer.
Because they're going to have to switch. So if you say you have an onion allergy and you just don't like them, your food's going to take a long time.
And your entire party's food is going to take longer as well.
Because they have to switch out the pans and they have to do all this stuff and, like, make sure nothing touches it. And you're also probably not going to get a lot of things that, like, make the dish good.
Correct.
Because you don't even realize that there's, like, something in the onion family that might be in there.
Right. So, all to say, if you have an allergy, that's great. If you don't be a dick.
Yeah, just say, I really don't like onions. Right. Are there any onions in this?
Also, my sort of random story about this scene. I must not have watched this the night that it aired for some reason, because I remember being at work the next day, and a table mentioned this, and I didn't know what they were talking about. Someone at the table said they had an allergy, and another person at the table jokingly was like, are you acting like Carrie? And I had no idea what they were saying. So anyway, just
like, no spoilers.
Memory. Yeah, no spoilers.
I have the VHS tape at home to watch later.
100%. So Charlotte suddenly has to go, which I would probably have to go as well.
You know what, guys? I actually have to. I totally forgot. I have to go. Bye. Charlotte decided to leave her second bad date of the night.
So we're in the car, and things are just still tense.
You can just drop us at the corner of 73rd and Madison. Thanks.
Well, actually, can you go around? It's 73rd between Park and Madison. Thank you. I'm in heels.
And yeah, he's just sort of, you know, I can't believe you put me down in front of your friend, and she insists that she didn't, and now you're going to tell me what I feel. And it's just, yeah, all right, I guess it's time to have a conversation. What's going on with us? And yeah, when did you stop being on my side?
This isn't working.
You're right. I think we should take a break.
And she is wondering, how long have you been thinking about this? Because it seems that he has brought this up very quickly.
And it does feel like this happened very quickly.
Right.
It feels like two episodes ago we were fine. Last episode was tense. And now it's... And I guess that's how things go.
And
I
that's
guess
also Sex and the City. Yeah. Charlotte planned her wedding in 3 hours.
You really like shortening that every time you talk about it.
Charlotte's wedding happened in 2 seconds.
Yeah, he says there's going to be another stop. He doesn't want to talk tonight.
Mm-mm.
And he's going to go to his Hamptons house for
a week. Yeah, you want to take that break starting now?
And the end of this scene is weird to me. And I mean it kind of on both people's side. We're like, yeah, he means now. I don't know. I feel like Carrie's reaction to it is weird. His reaction to it is weird.
Well, I mean, you could tell. And I'm wondering if this is why he was behaving strangely at the restaurant, because this isn't something he just thought of in this moment.
For sure.
So he had been thinking about it at the restaurant. And I know that. I know that when I've said to people, like, hey, I don't think this is working out, that their response at some point was like, oh, yeah, I could tell.
Right. Yeah. These things are usually not surprises. And, you know, He's like, is that okay? And I'm supposed to decide with the meter running? And it's like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, yeah. The conversation is so weird. And even to where she gets out of the car and kind of slams the door in as the car drives away is like, thanks for dinner.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Like, it's just such a weird, and I guess it's just because things are weird.
Yeah. And there's also a level, I think, of embarrassment and all that.
Yeah. And we get to four ladies at brunch.
Samantha is very 1990-something with that outfit. It just doesn't... It feels more Carrie than Samantha, and Carrie's just very subdued in a messy bun. But I think it's because she's sad.
Yeah. Carrie knew they had problems, didn't know it was that bad. And Charlotte brings up that maybe a break is what saves them. That maybe if it's good to not say everything you want to say in the moment.
If Harry and I had taken a break, then maybe I wouldn't be out on blind dates again.
Hey, remember when a break was a good thing? Spring break, coffee break.
Now it's breakups.
You know what I think? I think don't do that.
Samantha basically just tells Carrie not to do the sad face.
Yeah, so those are Samantha's test of a good relationship.
Right, the face you make is an indication of how your relationship is. That said, Samantha also says a bump in the road is never a good thing, and you shouldn't stick around to see how not good.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Samantha right now.
She's kind of all over
the place. Yeah, I think her quaaludes are off.
Yeah, Samantha brings out the hunk postcard.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miranda brings up the good point to Carrie of, like, what do you want?
Right, use this time to think of what you want.
Right.
You know, which is so... You know, I feel like I was having a discussion with a friend about this morning, that we are so quick to give the other person the power in a relationship, you know, and it's like we forget that it is a partnership type thing, right? Like it's two people together making the choice. The other person isn't in control all the time, or the other person doesn't get to have all the information.
Yeah. I think that sometimes we act as though someone else's affection for us is a gift.
Right.
And if
it's me, then yes, it is. It's a And if it's Mike Jensen, it is a rare jewel.
Or a curse. And Carrie gets to thinking about trials and trial separations.
In a courtroom, a jury decides the outcome. In a relationship, the victims have to decide their own fate.
She's back in the courtroom about to give us the question. And it's, do we need distance to get close? And I think sometimes.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you need to step away from something to, like, really examine it.
Right. You know, it's like you don't know what you have till it's gone. Something along those lines.
Somewhat misquote of Joni Mitchell, but it's close enough.
I think other people have said it, too.
I think Joni Mitchell made it up. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. So when Miranda arrives at a meeting with Fern and Maurice. Fern, for the record, is played by Rosemary DeWitt. Who is married to Berger.
In real life.
Yeah, in real life.
Were they married at this point?
Yes. Oh, no. They got married several years later. And then I also just wrote that Lee Shepherd, I felt like I had to bring this up. Lee Shepherd, who plays Maurice, has played at least 6 different characters on Law and Order.
Crazy old Maurice.
So Miranda is getting a talking to about her performance.
Yeah, she thinks it's going to be about the case she's working on, but they're just letting her know that she's late. And she's been late a few times.
And you left early on Monday. Way to watch my back, Fern.
This meeting confused me a bit because there really was no resolve, no punishment. Just kind of like, hey, guess what? You've been late.
Just a heads up.
Yeah, and she handles it as Miranda would, I think, because you can tell that she's affected by it.
Yeah.
You can tell that she wants to cry, but she's not going to.
But let me say, as far as the McKenzie brief, Miranda Hobbs is kicking ass. Where I'm doing a bad job is at home.
And then she leaves and just says...
And may I remind you that when my mother died, I was back in the office on Monday.
Yeah, I wrote, she leaves with a pretty good parting shot.
Yeah.
Smith arrives, and Samantha is drinking an absolute hunk.
Yeah.
Which looks like it's probably just like a lychee martini, maybe.
I mean, there's something in there that is giving it a cloudy look.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is.
And he's feeling very sheepish.
My sober buddies are pissed that I'm shilling for a liquor company. My acting class thinks I'm a sellout. My ma's running around every grocery store in Seattle hiding magazines so my 96-year-old grandmother doesn't see my dick.
I'm like, you can't actually see that.
Yeah. And also, your grandma's gross. And grandma's why is creeping. your grandma's pretty old for you being 28? I guess not that old. 90s. How old is he? He said his 96-year-old grandmother.
Yeah.
And he's 28.
Yeah, that's a 70-year difference. That's not nothing.
No, that would mean that she had... I mean, I guess my grandmother, my mom's mom, was born in 1919. It could happen.
Yeah, and he also complains that it's not getting him anywhere professionally. That if all of this is for his... professional life, why isn't that happening? And I do want to be like, to quote the title, it's only been a hop, skip, and a week.
Yeah. Relax.
Jerry, calm down. And then a gay recognizes him.
And this is the one, the character that I like the credit.
Oh, what's his credit?
Gay guy.
Yeah.
Hey, gay guy.
I wrote that he creepily lets it be known that he and his leering friends are huge fans.
Hi.
Gross.
Calm down, gays.
Yeah, and then Samantha lets him know this is how it happens. First come the gays, then the girls, then the industry.
Which is actually kind of true.
Yeah, the gays usually discover things.
Yeah, and then it brings it into the mainstream. And then, yeah, then the industry catches on. So this actually does make sense.
I mean, not always, but...
Often. Sometimes. Yeah. Charlotte is on a date with Jonathan, who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like practicing Pilates, but I don't want to talk about it all day with my significant other.
And has a gay brother, and they're both obsessed with Smith. And that's kind of all that I wrote about it.
Yeah, they're on the Upper West Side. I know that because they passed by this store called La Dida, and I Googled it, and it is now closed.
But of course it is.
They were on the Upper West Side, and yeah, he says, my brother will be so disappointed. We're obsessed with him. And I actually... The mother doesn't want to know, or the mother doesn't know that he's gay, and she has two gay sons. And this has been the experience that I've known for a few people, where it's like the parents who's have not been as supportive, like have multiple gay children.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And sad. Like if you well, really they, take
in,
a look
in
at this
my,
storyline,
in my
this...
experience, they have ended up being very supportive. Okay. The people that I know.
So Elaine is upset that Charlotte won't go out with her David and isn't too PC to talk about it.
No, is that a real word?
You went out with a Fagel and a Miskite, and you can't go out with my David.
And then I also just can't. I just think of the original recording of Cabaret.
Miskite, Miskite. Once upon a time there was a Miskite, Miskite. Looking in the mirror, he would say, "What an awful shock." I've got a face that could stop a clock.
Yeah, but do Pete... And then she pulls out her wallet to show pictures of her son, which probably doesn't happen anymore. People probably just,
get
just
your
have
phone
phone out.
Yeah. She says he'll be at the next mixer, and he's a looker. And to prove this, she pulls out pictures of Peter Herman. That's the actor who plays this character. Which we will get to in a minute.
What if he had sandals on?
That would be so tough.
Yeah.
So Miranda arrives frantically home.
Struggling.
Yeah. And Brady's already in bed.
She misses Brady.
And she's clearly sad.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's a short scene, but we're and I guess what we could have said in the last scene is that I think that her main frustration with going into that meeting, and I mean clearly what her frustration is going into that meeting and being criticized professionally, is all that she's giving up to make sure that her professional life is going well.
Right. And she's probably thinking, like, at this point, I don't care.
Or
I be
do
with my
care.
Son.
And how can I care? Like, I care as much as I can possibly care.
Right.
Yeah. So Carrie's shopping at Century 21 downtown,
mm-hmm.
which is a store that makes me insane.
There's one on 66th Street that's a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's
easier
a little
to
bit more organized.
Manage.
My thing with Century 21.
It's a lot smaller.
Right. My thing with Century 21 is that you can find good stuff. But it's still usually pretty expensive.
Well, because it's high end.
Right. So it's like a $5,000 shirt that like is now only $1,000.
However, the jumpsuit that I wore for a wedding a couple weeks ago, I found at Century 21 for $49.99.
Goodbye. I have a pair of, I think, Dolce & Gabbana jeans somewhere that I found, and they were like $39.
That doesn't seem like you at all.
I was like 22. I saw Dolce & Gabbana. I was like, I'm going to buy those.
Oh.
They were cute, actually. So, Big calls and is golfing.
Yeah.
Asks how things are. Asks about Hot Dog.
Yeah, how are things with Hot Dog? And I also noticed in this episode that cell phones are becoming a norm.
Yeah, yeah. She has her sparkly pink cell phone.
Is it a razor?
Maybe. I don't know. Have we seen it before?
No. I don't think it's a razor because there's an antenna. And I don't think the razor had an antenna. Or maybe it did if I... But either way, cell phones are more of a norm in this episode.
Yeah. And she says they're taking it slow. They're taking a break.
First things are great, and then they're taking a break. And then, Carrie, you're breaking up.
And yeah, well, before that, he sort of has his moment of, like, anyone that needs distance from you is crazy.
Right.
And, of course, she calls him out on that one.
Yeah.
Spoken by the man who moved 3,000 miles away.
And then, yeah, it goes right to you're breaking up.
No, we're not.
And it's because the phone is breaking up, but the call just ends awkwardly. And
of course, it gives her this idea that she has to see Burger. So she rents a car, which, Carrie... We have seen you driving.
Well, maybe she got an automatic this time.
It doesn't matter.
Or a manual. Wait, which is which? Automatic.
She should have an she should just have a driver. Yeah. She can't drive.
She and drove in season one.
She doesn't get that far with the car.
Yeah, she
$187
to go. Yeah, not very far. And what did I think I was going to do? Badger my boyfriend into being with me?
Well, that's one option.
Carrie's at Miranda's.
Sounds like something Carrie would do.
I just keep thinking, you know, if I stick with it.
And she just feels like if she tries harder.
Yeah.
And she brings up the Hollywood kiss as though it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys need a bit?
And she said, like, right here, Carrie says that she has to break up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Magda brings Brady in from the bath, and he cries once Miranda takes him. And
yeah, and is Magda now the nanny?
I guess so.
Okay.
Or she's, yeah, we're sort of, we never really determined that we'd segued into that, but certainly Magda has more duties than she once
had.
Yeah,
and I think Magda's perfectly fine with it. She loves Boy is Beautiful, Don't Say F.
Yeah. And at work the next day, Miranda says she's going to have to cut way back.
Yeah, 50 hours a week.
55
tops.
Which, you know, isn't a lot for a lawyer. It's a lot, but it's not a lot. It's hard for me to understand that, except for I do know that there are jobs where actors work much longer. And I guess if the job is fulfilling, I suppose it's something that you want to give that much time
right.
to.
Right. So but we also have friends that are lawyers that
right.
work.
Way more than that.
Yeah. So I guess she is cutting down. But I think the point of this is to say, like, she works a lot.
Yeah.
She's working hard. And also shout out to all the moms out there in general.
Hey, moms.
You work very hard. We appreciate you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here.
So she makes a makeshift mommy-mobile.
Yeah. Do you want me to make one of those for you of me?
No, thank you.
Okay.
So Smith is upset about his poster being defaced, which I want to be like, that's part of being a poster. Like, I know someone who was a poster for a Broadway musical, and like the first time there was a dick on their face, they were like so excited about
it. Yeah, I would love that.
Because that's like, you've made it.
Yeah.
If your poster's being defaced.
And I'm wondering here, is Samantha his girlfriend or his manager?
I think a little bit of both, but I... Okay,
very, you know, Kris Kardashian.
Yeah, and she says, you know, so there's a bump in the road. You can't just quit.
What if you're wrong?
There it was. A frown. Or as close to a frown as Samantha and her dermatologist, Dr. Peterson, would allow.
And then Samantha gets the case of the frowns. And I wrote, I'm not sure if we're talking about his career or their relationship.
Right. And I don't know, do they have a relationship? Sometimes she strikes me as his mother. I'm very confused by all this.
So a bunch of teenage girls start screaming and then everything is fine.
And why do those girls know about liqueur ads?
I think it's just because he's a hunky guy
on
a poster.
I know, I'm just thinking. Yeah, and so...
And it's through voiceover we discover that a hop, skip, and a week later...
Gus Van Sant offered Smith the part of a model/hustler/junkie in his latest movie.
And then I just wrote, oh my God, Peter Herman.
Yeah. So tell me about Mike and Peter Herman. What do I know Peter Herman from? I know Pee Wee Herman.
Very different.
Okay.
What if this was the reveal that they were the same person?
Paul Rubens.
Peter Herman is currently on the TV show Younger.
Okay.
He has been in like an 18-year relationship with Mariska Hargitay. So
oh,
he likes
I know
the
her.
Taller ladies.
All right, so that's
so
a chance
that I
for
have
both
a chance.
Of us. Although I wasn't really attracted to him. He's a nice-looking gentleman, but...
I think he looks better now. But, oh my Lord, he's like... Yeah. I mean, good job, Mariska. She seems very nice, so I'm very happy for them. But man, oh man, Peter Herman. So
Mike
he went
is
to,
getting
yeah,
flustered.
Ugh, yeah, he gets me all nervous. So yeah, he went to Yale, and Charlotte isn't impressed.
Yeah.
Something wrong with Yale?
No, it's just... Yale.
She's like, David, you're perfect. But where I am right now, you might as well be a gay man with carnations.
Yeah. Which is all to say that she's just not ready to date.
Yeah, she misses Harry.
You want to go back to my apartment and have sex?
Yes!
No, she says no. But you do. You want to go
there. She's a fool.
What if there are sandals?
That's so tough. That he would make it tough. No, I would make him put shoes on.
After he got naked.
For the record, Peter Herman would never wear sandals.
Okay.
I can just tell. He's a classy guy. So he heads out to find me, and Charlotte stays behind.
Mike is now writing fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
This blows. The only cute guy just left.
All that's left is the fatties and the baldies.
And then we see
there it
Harry.
Is. It's Harry. And Charlotte goes over.
And says, I don't care if we get married. I just want to be with
you. Yeah, she says that she's not good. She says she doesn't care if they never get married. And this scene does get me,
uh-oh.
For the record, to this day. I just think that, you know... Kristen Davis does a very good job.
Yeah.
I would be lucky to have you. So if you can find some way to forgive me, if you could just call me or just ask me out again,
Well, that's not good enough.
And then he proposes.
With no ring, because he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Charlotte York, will you marry me?
And then we're back at jury duty, and the weird guy has a coconut. Yeah. And she's just not ready to let him go, she realizes. And then she's released from jury duty, and the buzzer buzzes in her apartment, and it's Burger.
And he has pink carnations and carries in her house heels.
Hey, Burger, I know things have been bad, but I really think...
I know. I love you, Carrie. I want to try to make this work.
And she wakes up the next morning.
And he's not there. And so, okay. Confessions. Not the Madonna album. But I knew there was a post-it because the New York Public Library sent me an email that had a post-it. I've seen, you know, like I do a lot of like I do all the social media, so I come across Sex and the City things. So I knew there was a post-it at somewhere that said, I'm sorry, I can't, don't hate me. I was 110% sure that Berger proposes to Carrie. They get married, and on the wedding day, she leaves him that post-it.
Oh.
So to let, like, honestly, I was surprised that it ended this quickly and that this was the post-it and it was from him.
Yeah.
I was 100% sure that they weren't going to last. And actually, I didn't even know if it was Burger. I thought, well, maybe her and Burger won't last, but maybe it's Big. Like, maybe she, her and Big finally get back together and she leaves Big this post that says, I'm sorry, I can't do it. So there was a lot of, like, I didn't know.
And it surprised you.
It really surprised me.
Yeah.
And it just ends.
It like, yeah.
She knocks over those flowers.
Yeah. It was a gut punch. Like, I remember watching this, not, you know, like, as it was happening, not knowing there was going to be a post-it and just being like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And that's it.
And I'm wondering, were we supposed to, because you told me, keep in mind, he has a post-it. Like, with his number. Like, is that supposed to be a thing?
No. No, it's only retroactively. So, Michael Patrick King has talked about, they knew this entire storyline. As of, like, season 5, they were starting to work on this. When Ron...
Burgundy.
Ron Livingston. When Ron Livingston took this role, he was told, this is going to be your storyline.
Right.
Just be ready for it. Everyone's going to hate you. And he, you know, agreed to it because he's an actor. And that's why they had those little moments in where he's holding a post-it or, you know, like just to sort of like, this is where this is going to go. And yeah, it sucks. I was very sad. I was very upset when this happened.
Well, I even texted a friend of mine last night and I was like, I'm not allowed to talk about Sex and the City a lot right now because Mike gets mad when I talk about it before we record. But I just watched this episode and A, I thought for sure Carrie wrote that post-it and B, I like went, when Harry proposed.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
very happy because I like Harry.
Yeah,
I like Harry.
Yeah,
you know, I also like Steve. I'm invested now. And I'm becoming that person who is like talking about Sex and the City, but 20 years late and everyone's just looking at me weird. Like, you don't understand, people. I just finished book 4 of
right
Harry
now.
Potter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a crazy episode because you go from that sort of elated moment of Harry proposing to Charlotte and like, oh my gosh, that fixed itself so quickly to this. We are like, oh my gosh, that fell apart so quickly. And that's Sex and the City, folks.
That's what happens. Well, I couldn't help but wonder
what happened in the night. And I guess that's the really obvious one. But how you can show up at someone's door and say, I love you and I want to make this work. And, like, 10 hours later, there's a post-it on a computer.
I couldn't help but wonder how Carrie didn't hear him leave. Or feel it leave. It feel him leave.
She was sleepy. Mm-hmm. I bet he didn't go to bed. I bet something happened immediately in a conversation where he went, oh, no, never mind. This isn't going to work out.
Or do you think he read her computer, like, stayed up late reading her
Maybe.
Notes?
Maybe. That's actually a pretty valid point. If you want to live like in a real world version where she's really writing about these
right.
things, maybe that's why it was on the computer. Maybe
yeah,
he woke up, looked at the computer, saw what she had written and was like, oh, I think this is over.
Yeah.
I'd never thought about that.
Oh, good. So I didn't just like...
You're so smart.
Yeah, I was going to say, just end it right there. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for the Post-It Always Sticks Twice. Yeah, I've served jury duty. Jury duty? Ew.
Do you think this is how they met?
I don't know. They don't have any scenes together.
I know, but they probably still...
Maybe they bonded over it later.
Yeah, like at the craft services table.
Maybe. Oh, cute. I've decided that's what happened.
Crazy old Maurice.
So nuts.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay. Yes, I did know that. So, yeah, all that's left are the fatties and the baldies.
Well, where would you have been at this point in 2004?
2003. I mean, I would have been in New York. I would have been waiting tables at Josie's on a Sunday night.
Oh.
I have no idea.
Maybe at Greenhouse. They used to have a gay night on Sunday nights. You could have been there.
I went there maybe once or twice.
Me too. Wasn't for me.
Don't say F.